1 Samuel 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. Rightfully so, we get so excited about David's victory over Goliath that we forget what the ramifications, the consequences were going to be if he had lost. If David had lost, the people of God, Israel, would have become the servants, the slaves of their enemies, the Philistines. Now that shows the great, great importance of getting spiritual victory. Because whenever there's a failure to spiritual victory, somebody always becomes a slave and a servant to the enemy. But what I want you to notice, it was one man that stepped out and gained victory for the whole people of God. And I want to preach this morning on somebody do it for everybody. Somebody do it for everybody. David's victory affected everybody. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, move in our midst. Shut up my heart to the truth. Remove every distraction. Help us to hear the voice of the Lord. Oh God, be gracious to us. Challenge our hearts from young to old, Lord. Help us to know You're in this place. Lord, help us to have no other thoughts but Your thoughts. And help us to have no other desire but a desire for You to have Your way. And Lord, move mightily and give us a mighty altar service and services this week. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the contenders in the recent conquest for the Republican nomination in our last presidential season was Herman Cain. And he now is a radio host on one of our local stations. I don't know if you've heard him or not, or remember him or not, Herman Cain. But he wrote a book. I've always liked the title of it. His book was entitled, An Army of Davids. What could you do? I mean, look at all just one David did. What could you do with an army of Davids? Well, I believe that our church could be an army of Davids. You see, Herman Cain wrote this because he sees the need of America. He sees the colossal problems Americans are facing. And he also sees that there are so few that seem willing to step up and confront and take on the needs of our nation because they're so great. But I see not so much the needs of America, but the needs of the church, the spiritual realm. I believe even here at Union Road, our church, there are colossal spiritual battles and needs that we have. I believe we need an army of Davids. An army of Davids. We need those who are tired of the enemy moving in, encroaching upon our territory, harassing us, coming in and stealing our young people, splitting up our homes, causing pain and suffering. We need a group of people that are tired of the enemy being on our turf. What we need is a David who will will step forward and say, it's not a time to run. It's not a time to negotiate. It's not a time to give in. It is a time to face our enemy and have the victory God would ensure to His people. I'm preaching, we need some Davids this morning. We need a David to step out. We need a David in some of our homes to step out in our homes and say, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time that we turn these problems over to God. It's time we have a David in our home, in our marriage, that says, we're not going to accept the defeat of our marriage. We're going to go to the back bedroom and we're going to pray till victory comes. We need Davids to step forward from our youth group and say, our youth group needs a move of God. I'll be that one to step out in faith and believe God to use me to send revival to the youth. We need some Davids amongst our young adults. Amen. Maybe past the youth group, but they'll say, we still need the move of God. Like we seen it at Camp Dove years ago. We want it not just in a July or an August, but we want it right now in February. We need some Davids in our young married couples and say, sure, we have the responsibility of raising a family. We're working double time to make ends meet, but the spiritual needs of my family are still the greatest needs of my family. And I'll be a David and I'll step out. We need some Davids in our men's ministry, some Davids in our women's groups to step out and say, it's time to have victory. I'm going to do it not just for myself. I'm going to do it not just for my family. I'm going to do it for the church, the people of God. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You see, this isn't so much a story about David's personal victory for himself. This is about David's victory for the people of God. It's not just David that's going to benefit. It's not just David that's going to suffer if he wins or loses. The people of God's future is dependent upon somebody stepping out in faith. The point I want to make, Goliath was everybody's Goliath. David might have been the one that faced him, but Goliath was everybody's Goliath. I want you to not mistake. It may be a Goliath coming against one of our family's homes, but that Goliath is everybody in the church's Goliath to be defeated. Because if that Goliath destroys that family, that affects the people of God. That affects the church of God. Goliath challenged all the people of God. And defeat by Goliath for just one would bring servitude to all of God's people. If we look at anyone's giant, we ought to look at it as everybody's giant. It's not just what they're facing, because that's going to affect the whole of the people of God. You say that family's really going through it. They're really facing it. That Goliath is your Goliath too. The question isn't, is it everybody's Goliath? The question is, who's going to be the one to step out by faith and say, enough is enough? Will somebody do it for everybody? David became the somebody that stepped forward and stepped out in faith for everybody. It was unimaginable odds, but when he stepped out, everybody had the victory. Hallelujah. It could be in one service. Hallelujah. Somebody could be a David for the service. Amen. They might say, well, this service is tight, or this service is rough. But somebody could be the David that steps out by faith and says, enough's enough. I'm going to have the victory for everybody by the grace and the power of God. I just want to leave three things with you. Number one, the enemy's moving in and challenging God's people jeopardized all the people of God. Look at verse 1. The Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together in Shochah, which belonged to Judah. I want to stop there. Just think what it says here. They moved in. They pitched their tents on the territory that belonged to Judah. Judah is God's people's territory. Judah is the people of God's land. In other words, this was an invasion. This was an invasion. Today, the church of God has been invaded, and the people of God, in many cases, don't seem to recognize it. Brother, help me out. I know I have control. I don't have, and just kind of leave it there. I'm weak in this morning. I said this was an invasion, and the people of God have been invaded, and in most cases, they don't seem to recognize it. I have sat as pastor and watched homes invaded by the enemy, and the home didn't even recognize the enemy had showed up. I've seen people, it's evident, the Philistines had moved in and were encamping on their heart, and they didn't seem to realize it. The Philistines had invaded the people of God's territory. Can you tell it this morning? Has the enemy moved into your spiritual territory? Has the enemy moved into your home? Do you realize it? We got to realize Satan is under a constant effort to invade our territory. I have found in this season of revival, that's often when Satan makes his move of invasion. When the people of God are seeking God for revival, when they're trying to have a revival, and even after revival, Satan likes to move in and invade the territory. It's not time to run. It's not time to hide in the rocks and the caves. When Satan moves in, it's time to rise up unintimidated and face him and say, he that is with me is greater than you. And if God be for me, who can stand against me? Hallelujah! Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's not time to cower and to run. It's a time to stand up and be a David and say, enough with the invasion. Enough with the invasion. The Philistine army had a champion who challenged the people of God. Verse 4, I read it to you. Goliath marches out and he has a challenge. And I read it to you. His challenge was in verse 7 and 8. Just give me one man to fight. We'll fight it out. And if I win, you, Israel, become our servants. But if your man wins, we, the Philistines, will become your servants. The whole Philistine army was there. But Goliath was the point of attack. Goliath was the face of the army. Goliath was the front guard. And all of hell is against us. But I want to ask, what's the face of the army of hell this morning in our lives, in your life? What is the Goliath that has come to the forefront to challenge your spirituality, to challenge your relationship with God? In these verses we read that Goliath went out in the midst of that valley between the armies. And I want to tell you this morning, that's usually where you'll confront your enemy. It's going to be in the valley. Hallelujah. He didn't yell his challenge from a mountaintop. He yelled it from a valley. Amen. Which so many times, thank God, we have the mountaintop experience. But that's not usually where we face the Goliath. We face the Goliath in the valley. Even not just personally, but in our families, in our homes. It's when the family's been sick for weeks. It's when the financial problems are piling up. And not just the individual or the family, but in the church. When the church has been through a dry season, when the church is in the valley, that's where Goliath shows up and begins to yell and to scream and to challenge. Oh, hallelujah. It may be in the the valley that Goliath shows up. But the God of the mountains is the God of the valley too. Hallelujah. 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 He had that challenge. Amen. You see, Goliath put it plainly. What was at stake? Who were going to be the servants? If the people of God lose the battle, they'll lose their freedom. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you lost your freedom, your spiritual freedom? Are you on the brink of losing it? A month from now, will you be spiritually free? A year from now, will you be spiritually free? What about it? A generation from now, will your children be free spiritually in the things of God? What about the next youth group? Will it be one that is spiritually free and able to worship? And you see how much is weighing on this challenge? Do you see what's at stake? I'm telling you, every time a Goliath shows up, spiritual liberty's at stake. I don't know about you. Most of us have one time already been a servant of Satan, already been a servant of sin. It's not a good servant to. It's not time to be a slave to sin and Satan. It's time to be free. Hallelujah. Free to worship. Free to pray. Free to believe. Free to know God. Hallelujah. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Defy. I challenge believing I'm impossible to overcome. I defy. I confront you, but I confront feeling assured that I'm going to be the one to win. In other words, Goliath was saying, I'm coming against you and there's nothing you can do about it. That's what defy means. I'm coming against you and there's nothing you can do about it. Don't tell me it's not happening right here in this house, in this church family, maybe in a visitor. Even you're here, the enemy's come against you. And what he's really saying is, I defy you. In other words, I've come against you and there's nothing you can do about it. He's a liar. Hallelujah. There is something to be done. Oh, hallelujah. We don't have to kowtow. We don't have to cower. We don't have to be intimidated. In fact, it's not that something can be done. It's something already has been done. Jesus has already been to Calvary. Jesus has already ensured the victory of His people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No running here. No running here. Verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid, pinned down in fear of facing defeat. Fear of facing destruction. Fear was the response to Goliath and the Philistine army. I want you to know Satan works by fear. I read this past week about a pastor of a great church. And suddenly, out of nowhere, after preaching one night, he thought he was having a heart attack and dying. Come to find out, it was anxiety attacks hitting him out of nowhere. Now, I want to tell you something real quick. Before you begin to think that things of that nature are just for weak people that don't have enough to grab themselves by the shirt collar and pull themselves up, you better watch that mentality. Because you don't know what's going to come against you. And he talked about, he literally had to quit pastoring for a while. Every time he tried to do something for God, this fear would hit him. Satan works by fear. It visited some of you last night. Fear of the situation. Fear of the circumstance. Oh, Goliath out there yelling in the valley. Your car trouble. Your job trouble. Your domestic trouble out there all night long yelled in the valley and fear came in. I'm telling you, fear is enough to stop you. But I'm telling you, there's an answer to fear. David found the answer to fear, and it's faith. Hallelujah. Goliath, you may be trying to stir up fear. Oh, but my God knows how to stir up faith. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I had fear last night, but I'm hearing about David today. Little old David who went out and faced the giant. I've got faith now. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Now make no mistake. Goliath was formidable. Goliath was no mirage. Goliath was not a fake. He was not an imagination. Verse 4. His height was 6 cubits and a span. Almost 10 feet tall. Verse 5. He had a helmet of brass. He was armed with a coat of mail that weighed 125 pounds. His armor weighed more than a lot of you weigh. Amen. That's how heavy his armor was. He must have been a massive man. Verse 6, he had brass upon his legs. Amen. He must have planned on maybe falling sometime because he had brass on his legs. Maybe that was the largest part of him. I don't know. He had a target of brass between his shoulders. There's a little indication there. He's not all bravery. Amen. Why does he need something between his shoulders if he doesn't think he might have to run sometime? Glory to God. Amen. In other words, he had this spearhead that weighed 15 pounds, that was on a shaft that was the size of a fence post. Goliath really was tall. Goliath really was bigger than David. Goliath really was bigger than even Saul, who was head and shoulders over the rest of the Israelites. Goliath had a record of havoc and destruction. Amen. You see, I'm talking about faith. But too many also, Brother Wilson, too many act as if Satan has no power and Satan has no influence and Satan has no impact. I never want you to believe that. He is a formidable foe. He does go as a roaring lion, devouring everyone he can. I'm not saying he's a formidable foe. I'm just saying he's conquerable. Hallelujah. I'm not saying he's not a bad enemy. I'm just saying he can be put to run. Hallelujah. He can be put to flight. Amen. But don't underestimate. If you face him, you will need God. You will need faith in God. You can't face him on your own. Hallelujah. We're going to hear about David's brothers in a moment who got jealous. Now I want to tell you something before I move on. We can be pretty hard on David's jealous brothers. Why weren't they out there fighting Goliath? We can be hard on King Saul. Why wasn't he out there fighting Goliath? We can be hard on the armies of Israel. Why were they running? And why were they hiding? Yes, we can be hard on the lack of leadership and their cowardice as they kowtowed in the trenches. They were armed. They were ready to fight. But they were too afraid to fight. And we can be hard on them. But I want you to remember something. We got to get this. Yes, they were cowardice. Yes, they were afraid. Yes, they were hiding in the trenches. But they were still the people of God. And God was still interested in saving them and giving them victory. You know, sometimes we get hard on people. We see the failures. We see how they let the enemy move in. We see their spiritual lack. We see where they're not stepping up and being the men. And we get really hard on them. Amen. But I want to tell you something. As bad as shape is the Israeli army was, they were still the people of God, and God gave victory through David to liberate the people. It's not a matter of how bad a shape we're in. It's what does God want to do for us. Hallelujah. Maybe we are in bad shape. That's not the point. The point is there's a God that still loves us. We're still His people. He wants to come by and give victory and get us out of the trenches. Get us back on the battlefield. Give us victory over the enemy. Whatever shape we're in, we're still the people of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, whatever shape we're in, whatever shape that home is in, God still wants to give them victory. Whatever shape that young person's in, amen, don't give up on them. God hadn't. Verse 16, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. It was a daily thing. 40 days morning and evening. Some of you know exactly what that's like. You go to bed to it, and you get up to it. Sister Moore, when they got up in the morning, Goliath. Getting ready to go to bed, Goliath. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You go to bed with it, and you get up with it. The voice of Goliath. So what are we going to do? Second point. Just one. Not 10, 15, 20. That'd been good if we had an army of Davids. But just one by faith answered the challenge. Just one by faith answered the challenge. I've often asked myself, why does this story resonate? Not only with children, but with adults. You know, have you ever thought if there wasn't a spiritual angle to this, how gruesome this really is? We get little bitty kids and say, yeah, David smote him in the hand and ran out there and took his sword, cut off Goliath's hand, held it up. And if this doesn't have a spiritual angle to it, that's pretty gruesome stuff. How many let your kids watch a little bit of that? Holding up a head and... Why does this resonate with children and adults alike? Is it just the contrast, the big tall Goliath and the little short David? Is it the contrast between the sword and the sling? No, I think the reason it resonates is because we all know, even as young kids, we all know what it is to face Goliaths, to have something in our lives that's too big for us to handle. I think that's why it resonates. But you see, David refused to be intimidated. And instead, he believed God for the impossible. What we're going to see is someone that's had enough of the harassments of the enemy and decides they're going to step out by faith. Look at verse 8. The Philistine cried and said, "Give me a man." He wasn't asking for the whole Israeli army. He said, just give me one man to fight. It's never, ever been a matter, will everybody get in? Will everybody seek God for revival? Will everybody press forward in a service? It's never been a matter, will everybody do it? It's always been a matter, will anybody do it? Will somebody step out by faith? And here is a wonderful thing. If somebody will, it will affect everybody. And let me tell you something else. I want you to hear this from the youngest to the oldest, to the one that served God 5 weeks, to the one that served God 50 years. It only takes somebody to affect it for everybody. But anybody can be that somebody. David wasn't in the army. He showed up to deliver supplies. But anybody can be that somebody. The question is, who will determine this week in this revival? We need revival. I'll be that somebody. I'll be that somebody. David's going to say, I will do it. I'll do it for everybody. David visits his brothers at his dad's instruction. He goes to the front line. He brings some care packages from home. My roommate used to eat all my care packages. But he brought him care packages from home. He brought some other supplies to butter up their officers. And when David gets there, Goliath comes out to make his daily challenge. Look at verse 23. As David talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And he spake those words. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. Notice what it says of Goliath. He came up out of the armies of the Philistines. And what you know, you never know what, who, and when is going to come up out of the armies of the Philistines to confront you. You never know. Goliath came up out of the armies of the enemies. David's giant was named Goliath. That's the one that came up out of the armies of the Philistines to confront him. David's giant was named Goliath. I want to ask you a question this morning. Don't answer out loud. What is the name of your giant? David's was Goliath. What's the name of your giant? Fear? Worry, sickness, hidden sin, lust. What's the name? Sickness. What's the name of your giant? You see, it really doesn't matter what the giant's name is. It's what God can help you do with the giant. That's what matters. It didn't matter if this giant's name was Sam. Hope there's no Sams here. Brother Norvell's gone. How many realize it really did not matter what his name was? The result was going to be the same. I want to ask again, what's the name of your giant this morning? What are you facing? What are you encountering? What are you coming up against? Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man? Wow! Have you seen this man that's come up to defy Israel? Have you seen this man? That was their problem. That's why they're still in the trenches. That's why they're filled with fear. Everybody's going around saying, have you seen this man? Have you seen how tall? Have you seen how big? Have you seen how ugly he is? Have you seen? You see, we can get stuck right there. We can have giants. We can have problems. But we go around talking to each other. Have you seen what a problem I have? Have you seen what big trouble I have? Have you seen how ugly, how tall, how big it is? David was a little different. Everybody in the armies of Israel was saying, have you seen the giant? And David came out and said, have you seen our God? Hallelujah. When you get through taking the measure of the giant, amen, won't you take the measure of our God? Hallelujah. Oh, I said, hallelujah. Isn't it time to look higher than the giant and look at the God? David's jealous brothers think he's trying to be a nosy, adventure-seeking show-off. And perhaps because of their own inaction, they fly off the handle at him. Verse 29. But David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? You see, it's this simple. A person won't care unless they see the cause. David cared. He saw the cause. Revival, even a church service, means little to somebody that doesn't see the cause. They don't see the reason. I'm not saying the cause for everybody else even. The cause for themselves. Saul gets the word that David's making noise over Goliath, going unchallenged and asking what the results would be of the one that defeats Goliath. And so verse 33, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man of war from his youth. Look at the first thing the king does. He tells David, you're not able to face that giant. I've heard you talking about it, but you're not able. I want to tell you, when you get ready to serve God, I want to tell you something. There'll always be somebody that will tell you you're not able to serve God. Poor Victoria gets picked on a lot because she's such a great testimony of somebody who makes up their mind to serve the Lord. They can do it. But there have been a lot of people when she came as a young girl to us, they would have told her, you'll never be able to serve God through your young years and your teenage years. Hallelujah. Isn't that like what they like to tell you? You can't do it. You can't do it. I'm telling you, it's time to quit listening to the you can't do it and to listen to what the Scripture says. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You can do it. Amen. Saul said, you can't do it. You can't do it. How many's heard? Maybe you've heard. We don't have an evangelist. We can't have revival. We can't have a youth group like we hear about a generation ago. that came shouting out of the prayer room on Sunday nights. You can't go. Maybe you've heard this, young people. You can't go to public school and be a witness and keep your witness. You can't go to public school and live pure and clean and win people to Christ. That's a lie. I don't care if it comes from someone that's supposed to be spiritual. Amen. It's not right. It's not true. Amen. They'll tell you that you can't overcome difficulty. And remember, Goliath is going to tell David the same thing the supposed person of God, Saul, did. Saul said, you can't do it. And Goliath told him that too. It's time we quit listening to those that tell us we can and listen to the Word of God that says we can. Let God be true and every man a liar, every doubt a liar, ever hesitate. Just let God be true. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Verse 34, David said to Saul, I kept my father's sheep. I had times a lion and a bear came out to get a lamb. Verse 35, when they came out, I'd take that lamb out of their mouth. If that thing persisted, I caught it by the beard and I smote it. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied. Oh, hallelujah. That's what he said he is doing. Goliath said, I have defied. That's what David picked up on. He's going to be killed because he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, listen, I like this. This is faith. This is a proclamation of faith. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Hallelujah. I believe at that moment, I think it was a new revelation for David too, Brother Cruz. I think all of a sudden, standing there with Saul telling him, you can't do it, you can't do it. Suddenly, it occurred to David why that lion had come and why he had had to fight that bear. You know, sometimes we don't understand the things that we're going through. We face this problem, that trouble. We go through this, we go through that. But there'll come a day that suddenly we'll understand why God let us face what we face. It hits David. I know why the bear. I know why the lion. God was preparing me for the Goliath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he said with faith, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, and the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear, the same Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He'll do it again. That's what David said. He'll do it again. How many can believe him for it? And I want to tell you, as I told you before, this is a way to have faith. Here's what David did. He took the record of the past as a reason in the present what the results were going to be in the future. How many has a record in your past of God moving for you? Take the record of your past for a reason in the present what you're facing, what the results are going to be. Oh, I think we're going to have some David step forward this morning. I'll be through in a minute. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There's a little hiatus in the story I won't go into. Saul tries to arm David with the standard issue armor of the day. And I know the words hadn't been spoken by the prophet yet. But I think when Saul was outfitting David with that armor, David was saying, what are you talking about? It's not by might, nor by power. It's by the Spirit of our Lord. And something else he might have been saying, you want me to put this armor on, but if I put this armor on, I'm going to be using against Goliath the same thing he's trusting in. Why would I want to be wearing what Goliath's going to be wearing when he's defeated? I don't need the same weaponry as the world. How many knows the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Last of all this morning, God responding to the faith of one gave victory to all the people of God. I know this could be preached at length. I'll just take a few seconds here, moments here. I don't want to lie to you, a few minutes. Verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had. My wife was cleaning out her purse this morning. She had a rock in there. Get ready for. She said, I got my rock. It scared me a little bit. I didn't know if I should be ducking this morning. I want to ask you, did you come to church with any rocks? Or were you just going to let Goliath walk all over you again? Come on, let's have revival. Let's have church this morning. He picked his rocks. He rejected the finest armor of the day and elected to face Goliath with the most basic tools of protection, a staff and a sling. But I want to tell you, you cannot improve on the basics. Amen. Nothing wrong with singing, but we don't need to book the finest singing group. Nothing wrong with a lot of things. But what we need to have a move of God, to have victory, is still the basics. Prayer in the Bible. Worship and obedience to God. Verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Has nothing to do with the sermon. I got to wondering this time, whatever happened to that man that bore Goliath's shield? What happened to him? He didn't even try to protect Goliath once he went down. He must have ran. You figure it out. Let me know tonight what happened to that man. And when the Philistines looked about, they saw David, and he disdained him, for he was a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. I mean, Goliath was offended that they sent a boy out to face him. It said he disdained them. I want to tell you something. You remember this. When the enemy starts disdaining you, remember that he's not yet seen the God that's behind you. He'll do that. He'll disdain you. Who do you think you are to serve the Lord? You live in the wrong neighborhood. Who do you think you are to see revival? You're nobody. You don't know much of the Bible. Who do you think you are to be anointed when you sing? You're not the best singer. He'll disdain you. Who do you think you are to try to preach a revival? I mean, he'll try. But if he begins to disdain you, you remember something. He's looking at you and not the God who is with and behind and for you. Hallelujah. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? I got excited this time. I can't tell you how many times I've preached this, but I got excited this time, Brother Fraley. Oh, because look what Goliath did. Yes, David walked out there with a stave and a sling, but Goliath never saw it coming. He focused on that stave, that staff. He said, he's coming against me with a staff. He never saw it coming. David never intended to use the staff on him. David intended to use the sling. Hallelujah. In other words, he didn't know the real source of strength that David had. Hallelujah. If the enemy's intimidating you, he's never going to see it coming. He doesn't know what your true source of strength is, or he wouldn't be so cocky. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 44, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, I'll give your flesh to the buzzards and to the coyotes of the field. Then David said, verse 45, to the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of heaven, whom thou hast defied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Goliath told him and showed him what he was coming against David with. But David said, what you're coming with me against me with is no match to what I'm coming against you with. Listen, Goliath, I see the spear. I see the sword. I see the shield. I see what you're coming against me with. But you've not yet seen what I'm coming coming against you with. And I want you to know, David did not say to Goliath, you come against me with sword, shield, and spear, but I come against you with a sling. David never said that. He said, you come against me with a spear and a sword and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. It's not in our sling. It's in our God. It's not in the rock, that pebble. It's in our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand and I'll smite thee. And notice what David says. He turns it on him. You said you'd feed me to the buzzards and the coyotes. No, sir. I'm not the one dying today. Someone needs to tell Satan that today. I'm not the one dying today. You are. I'm not the one losing. You are. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, with song or man's ability, for the battle is the Lord's. We need to know all over again as the people of God, our battle is God's battle. And victory does not come from our own resources and abilities. It comes from God. Verse 48, and it came to pass that when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. No equivocation. No hesitation. Here comes Goliath, a growling and a stomping. And David doesn't look for a way out. That's why too many Christians don't make it. They're always looking for a way out. But here comes Goliath. And Brother Cruz, David ran to meet him. Talk about faith. Quit cowing. Start running towards the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Name above every name. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know what the hope of His calling and the glory of the inheritance of the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and hath given Him a name that's above every name, but at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. And I come against you not with sling, not with rock. I come against you with a name. And he ran to meet him. I told you you had a Goliath. But the question is this morning, are you running from him or running towards him? It's time to quit running from your Goliath and to begin to run towards it in the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost and the authority of the Word and with the backing of the saints of God. There's victory this morning. Oh, hallelujah. I know I got to quit, but we got to get him killed. Hallelujah. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone and slung it, smote the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead. He fell on his face. And so David prevailed over the Philistine. God intervene in impossible situations. But I want you to notice as we close, God did not send a lightning bolt from heaven. God did not send fire, no loud noises, no cloud of glory. But God got involved. God showed up in the faith of David. God gave precision and strength to the stone. I like the bright lights and the lightning, but God knows how to get involved if you're doing right. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Verse 51, David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath, slew him, cut off his head. Now listen what happened. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, and they came to a valley. It was victory for David, yes, one-on-one, personally. But its ramifications were for the whole people of God. Is there not a cause? Yes. Somebody can step out for everybody. Somebody can have faith and it make a difference for the whole family of God. Goliath fell. Instead of slavery, there's rejoicing and victory amongst the people of God. How many believes in this revival? Somebody can do it for everybody. Somebody can step out by faith. I want to ask you, I want to have you come in a moment. Who will be David? Who will step out by faith? For your family, for yourself, but for the family of God. I read this week about a preacher and another person on his staff. They were discussing some issues of the church and they were walking along the beach. As they walked along the beach, up on the beach there was a tavern. And they looked up, they heard a commotion. There was a fight that had broken out in the tavern. Suddenly, they said it was like an old western. It spilled out in the streets. And there were several guys beating up on this one guy, really letting him have it. And they just started running towards him. And they got up there. And they said something like, "You shouldn't do that. Now stop that." And here they were, just little men themselves, you know, just preachers. They didn't look rough or tough at all. And the guys looked at him with total disdain. And he said, "We started to say it again. And when we did, all of a sudden a fear came on the eyes of those attackers, the faces of those attackers. And without a word, they began to back off and leave the guy alone." And the preacher said, "I wondered what happened until I looked behind me, and a bouncer had stepped out of the tavern, and he was 6'7", over 300 pounds, and he said it looked like he was less than 2% body fat. And he said he never said a word. He just flexed his muscles and glared at those men, and they started backing away." That preacher said, "All of a sudden I felt tough. I said, 'Now go ahead, that's right, get out of here, and I don't want to see you here again.'" Hallelujah. It's different when you know who's behind you. It's different when you know who's with you. How are you facing it this morning? Face it in the name of God. Would you stand? Let's lift our hands and seek Him this morning. Let's seek Him. Hallelujah. You know the name of your Goliath. What's the name of your Goliath? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's seek Him. You know the name of your Goliath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's the first call this morning. I want you to come and stand. Amen. You're facing a Goliath you need victory over. I want you to come and stand this morning. Press in as close to the step here as you can. You're facing a Goliath you need victory over. I want you to come right now. Don't hesitate. You're facing. You know the name of your giant. You know the name of your giant. Come and stand. Lift your hands and say, "I'm not coming against you in myself. I'm coming against you in the name of Jesus." Amen. You have your Goliath. I want you to come and stand. Lift your hands and say, "It's not by might nor by power. It's by this." Come on. There's others. There's some young people. Amen. I wonder, are there any here that would say, "I see what different ones are up against. I see what the church is up against. I'll be a David. I'll step out in faith. I'll be the one that says enough is enough." I wonder how many would be a David. Come in and pray with these. Come in and press up to the front and say, "Enough is enough. It's not time for intimidation. It's not time to be a coward. It's a come on, that's it. Be a David. Don't be intimidated by Goliath. Yes, he's got a sword. Yes, he's got a shield. Yes, he's got a spear. But you come in the name. In fact, as you come down the aisle, say, "I come in the name of Jesus." Come on, as you come down the aisle, as you're lifting up your hands, "I come in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. I come in the name of Jesus. I pray. Enough is enough." No running here. No giving up.
You don't need an army before you can fight.
Oh, come on, let's see.
You don't need the weapons of the world to win. If you have the Lord,
come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be defeated. Hallelujah. It's in the name of Jesus.
You don't need an army before you can fight.
call your giant by name. Tell your giant you're not intimidated.
One child of God, it only takes one child of God. It only takes one.
Come on, step out, be a David. Pray the prayer of faith for somebody. Step out, be a David. Come on, seek the Lord. Let God be God. Let God be God. There could be victory for your family if you'll get victory. Victory for your family if you'll get victory.
You don't need the weapons of the world to win if you got the Lord on your side.
In the name of Jesus.
You don't need an army before you can fight. You don't need the weapons of the world to win.
Hallelujah.
You got the Lord on your side.
Victory in the name of Jesus.
One child of God.
Oh, hallelujah.
One child of God.
Hallelujah.
It only takes one child of God.
Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
You don't need the weapons of the world to win. If you've got the Lord, oh, God,
young person, be that
table.
Somebody do it for
everybody.
Somebody do it for your family.
It only takes
somebody get the victory for your family.
You don't need an army before you can fight.
I'll be the one for my family. I'll be the one for the youth group. I'll be the king. I'll step out in faith. I'll trust
the
Lord.
Satan's
a liar and the father of every lie.
One child of God.
Satan's a liar and the father of every lie.
One child of God. It only takes one.
Oh, be that David. Be the one that steps out for victory for your family. Victory for your youth group. Victory.